From up in the nosebleeds to down to the 50-yard line, wherever you watch the game, this is the place to sound off. Sports Talk with Jock on 770 CHQR.
Graham, we're talking Olympics. As you know, it was the most successful Olympics ever for our Canadian athletes. 29 medals in total, and we left a few on the table because, you know, obviously we didn't have the success we were looking for in curling. You could say there were probably a couple of others that, you know, were potential that should have been there, but 29, nobody is complaining. And I'll be honest with you, two of my favorite happened in luge because I have been involved with the luge team a number of years, doing a few broadcasts for them for the World Cups, not only here in Vancouver, here in Calgary, but in Vancouver as well. And when Alex Goff won the bronze medal, I was on fire. I was going, good for her. First ever individual luge medal for a Canadian athlete at the Olympics. And then, of course, the team competition rolled around, and it was a silver medal for Alex, for Tristan Walker, Justin Smith, and my next guest, the one and only Sam Edney, a four-time Olympian, joining me tonight on Sports Talk with Jock. Sam, welcome home, my friend.
Hey, thanks very much, Jock. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, what does it mean to you to be a silver medalist now?
Well, it's quite a feeling. I mean, it's something that it was still, you know, felt so surreal for the first couple of days, and even just the remainder of the Olympics. And I'll tell you, yesterday arriving at the airport and coming down that escalator as we came into a crowd of people and seeing a ton of familiar faces and my family and friends who have been behind me the entire way, that's when it really sunk in and it hit home. And so that was the moment that it really put all the years of hard work and training and blood, sweat, and tears and all of it to it just felt like it makes it worth it in the end, and it's quite a feeling. I feel really lucky and really honored.
Well, you should feel honored, and hey, we're honored to have you as a Canadian and a Canadian Olympian and also a Canadian silver medalist. Now, you were sixth in the men's luge competition, so close to the podium. It's your best ever finish at the Olympics, and you've been to four of them. How would you describe your racing in the men's competition?
Yeah, it was I'm walking away with my head pretty high after that one. Although I know I left a little bit on the table, in the men's luge event, we have four runs, and so the first heat, two heats are on day one, and I put myself in a great position. I was, I think, sitting sixth or fifth right after the first day, and the third run was a bit of a disappointment for me. I didn't have a huge issue, but I just kind of fell off the pace, and so the guys that were on the podium they widened that gap, and then on my fourth and final run, I threw down something that I was pretty proud of. It was a pretty spectacular run, and it just wasn't enough to close the gap. And especially in the men's event, it was extremely close. I was sixth place, and I was less than a tenth of a second off the podium. So I mean, that's a fraction of an eye blink, and I'll probably scratch my head at what happened on that third run and why I just kind of didn't have the speed on that run. But I still walk away, and I'm, you know, that's racing, and I can feel really proud of that I left it out all on track. And it was close, and I was lucky enough. I got to see a good friend of mine from the U.S. win the U.S.'s first men's single medal, and that was a great feeling. But I mean, at the same time, I would have rather that it was me up there.
Well, and Sam, I will say this, because I was watching it, and I was stunned with what happened in that men's final run. Felix Locke, he had it locked up. And, yeah, and it just goes to show you the pressure of the Olympic Games, because this is a veteran, one of the best sliders in the world, and he made a huge mistake, and he took himself right out of the podium.
Yeah, he did. He dropped from first to fifth, and you know, I know Felix quite well just from racing with him for the past 10 years, and he's a great guy, great champion, and that's the Olympics. And I mean, that was also the fun thing about that track was that no one had a huge home track advantage. No one had a home track advantage, and so all the nations were kind of equal playing field, and that was pretty cool for us to be racing against guys that weren't, they didn't have that 300 plus runs volume on the track, and so it made it makes little mistakes and the jostling between the positions, it makes that happen. So it was really, I mean, it made for exciting racing. I don't wish anything like that on any of the guys I'm racing against, but it definitely made for an exciting race. One of the most exciting Olympic races I've ever been to. And I've heard that from a number of people. So, and that's what I think I was most disappointed about in my race, that even if I had just put myself in that, you know, fifth or fourth place, there were a couple guys that screwed up, and so that's what would have bumped me up onto the podium. And that third run just kind of took me out of that position. But you know, that's the way it goes, and I can still walk away really proud of it. And it was quite a career. Yep.
Olympic silver medalist Sam Edney, a special guest here on Sports Talk with Jock. Now, Sam, I know the story, but I think it's important for you to share it with our listeners, because you're a Calgarian, 4 years old in 1988 when the Olympics were here. You went to a few of the competitions, but probably didn't really at four, didn't know exactly what was going on. Yeah. But hey, it sort of started the Olympic dream for you, didn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's I'm a product of the I'm a legacy baby of the 88 Olympics, and that's something that's pretty cool that I can say. I mean, I know that I've some stories. I was on my dad's shoulders at to watch Eddie the Eagle, and I was at up in Nikiska watching some of the Super G events and during the crazy Chinook winds. And I don't really remember anything of it, but that was, I think, for sure, it instills a bit of that passion in you at the young age. I mean, I've always had a love for sports, and I was always a pretty athletic kid and wanted to be doing as much as possible. But it was really then the opportunity that came out of grade 9. My phys ed teacher told me about a camp where I could go try. I could try out luge for the weekend. And from that camp, I was selected to be part of a more international training camp that was being held, where I started the sport basically with other nations that had never seen an ice track. So I think there was athletes from New Zealand, Great Britain, Venezuela, Brazil. It's kind of a mix of athletes that the International Luge Federation was trying to grow the sport, and they held this camp. And I was one of the Canadian representatives because it was being held in Calgary. And that just jump-started the career from about, I stayed 3 weeks up at COP when they used to have a dormitory for athletes. And in 3 weeks' time, I gained about a year's worth of experience right off the bat. And, you know, that just then, I was kind of hooked after that point. And then I say that the real, the Olympic fire was kind of relit within me when I went to watch the 2002 Olympics with my dad. I drove down and watched some luge events and speed skating. And from that point on, it was kind of like, this is now that I know a sport that I can compete in. It was that point on, that was the goal. And then, I mean, the coffin in the nail was then that summer in 2002 is when Vancouver was named as the city to host the 2010 games. And then that became the immediate goal. And I was lucky enough to qualify 4 years later for 2006, and then been chasing that podium ever since.
You know what? Torino, Vancouver, Sochi. And then, Sam, you decided to take a year away. You wanted to recharge. You wanted to go to school. And then you and Tessa and Scott and Jesse Lumsden, I believe you all got together and said, hey, we got to get back and follow this dream in 2018.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was, right after Sochi, I was kind of in, it's stung finishing fourth in the team relay, and I didn't have a great men's race. I finished 11th. And so I kind of walked away, and I was thinking that might be it, but there was still that pain, and I felt like we could have achieved it. And, we had this conversation. It was actually, I would put it on Jesse's shoulders. He was the one that was like, you know, I'm taking 2 years off, saving the body. And he had the plan already kind of outlined. I'm going to be back. I'm ready for Pyeongchang. And I think that got the conversation started around that table, just saying, well, maybe that's something we can do. And Scotty started talking about it too. He said that he and Tessa had never even had the conversation about leaving for a year or two and then maybe coming back. But that got him thinking. And for me, it was the same. I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, then I've got to have a bit of a plan for post Pyeongchang. And so that was where the idea came in about finishing my degree up. I was able to go finish my commerce degree at Royal Roads University, and then also just give the body a much needed year of rest. I mean, I was pretty banged up, and just the wear and tear of, at that time, 14 or 15 years of sport, it was your body starts to feel it. And so that was kind of the starting point of it, and it kind of then the all the pieces started to fall into place, and I was able to to then be able to get back into the onto the sled and start chasing that dream again. So I was really lucky.
It's a fantastic story. Hey, before I let you go, you know, you're going to share this medal with so many Calgarians, and it's going to start tomorrow. You're a big you're a big supporter of Classroom Champions, and it's Pink Shirt Day tomorrow. Excuse me, prevention of bullying in students, and you and Alex, and I think you guys are going to be at a school tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to be at. I'm totally blanking on the name of the school, but we're doing some stuff at.
Holy Name School, right?
And so we're going to be there tomorrow afternoon, and we'll be doing a bit of a panel discussion and trying to get the kids all fired up. And I think that's going to be a pretty special moment. I mean, for me, seeing my family and friends and having the medal and having them share the medal and wear the medal around for a bit is pretty great. But I think the moment when you see the eyes of a child light up and a little bit of that inspiration, you know, jumps into them, then that's where it really is meaningful for me. And if I'm able to get one or two or 100 kids pumped up about chasing their dreams and following sport or whatever it is they want to achieve in life, and that's where the value of that medal comes far and beyond anything that I can really put to. And so that'll be a really fun day. We're looking forward to it. I'm really happy that Calgary's my hometown, and I've been blessed by how the city supported me, and I'm just hoping to give back as much as I can now, and also give back to the sport, which gave me so much. So really looking forward to it.
It is such a great story, Sam, and I'm so happy for you. I'm glad you get to end your career with that medal. So enjoy it, my friend, and thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Thanks very much, Jock. And yeah, thanks to all, for all your support you've given us over the years, and absolutely thanks to all of Calgary. They've been such a great fan base for us, and looking forward to what the future brings.
Good stuff. Sam Edney, special guest here on Sports Talk with Jock, Olympic silver medalist. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more Olympic talk and, you know, not so much Olympic talk, more NHL talk, because our NHL insider, Craig Button, he is back from Korea. He joins us when we continue on 770 CHQR.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.